Good morning. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the Director of Impact Prayer Ministry, here with a Friday morning edition of Devotion, Encouragement, and Prayer. For those that were watching yesterday's episode, I cut short a little bit early. Update you, my daughter's doing fine, rested through most of the day once the seizure was over. And it's something we live with and have for the past 25 years. And even with different medications throughout the years, have greatly reduced the amount of seizures, but nothing has been able to stop them completely. Anyhow, for those that saw that yesterday, wanted to just do a brief update. This morning, as I spent time with God, and I kind of led into this a little bit yesterday, today's topic is on being called to love. Yesterday, we looked briefly at being called to be loved. And as we look at that, I write in the devotional that while at first glance this devotion may seem the same. In a way, it's the giving of the love that we talked about receiving in yesterday's devotion. God says that we love and we know what love is because He first loved us. And it's kind of why I wrote the devotional the way I did and back to back. And in the order, it's important that we understand just how much God loves us. To accept the calling of God to be loved, to envelop ourselves in His love. That's what gives us the ability to love others like Jesus loved us. To love others like Jesus loves them. And so many times we doubt that we're loved. We're not even sure of God's love. We have a hard time feeling that or knowing what that is. And so when someone comes along and says to love people like Jesus loves you, we think, well, what does that mean? But to love people like Jesus loves them, that's a sacrificial love. That's a love that looks out for their needs ahead of our own. It's the same way that Jesus loves us, but it's easy to get in our mind that, well, we deserve that kind of love. We're good, quote, good people. We go to church. We do the right things. We somehow deserve it. The Bible makes it clear that God's love was extended to us while we were dead in our sins, while we deserved nothing from Him. You see, that's the kind of love that God calls us to love others with. Jesus talks about, you know, you've heard it said to love your neighbors. I tell you to love your enemies and do good for those who persecute you. You see, it's easy, relatively easy, to do good to those who do good to us. To love those who love us. To treat others as Jesus would, to those who treat us as Jesus would. But when God calls us to love, He made it clear there were no people excluded from that. One of the things that we realize from God's love expressed toward mankind is love doesn't always look like we want it to, or it doesn't always look like the person receiving it wants it to. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave something that the people really didn't want. His message of the kingdom of God, his claim to be God and Messiah, was a big part of what took him to the cross. You see, the love that we extend to people says we're going to treat them and pray for them and act according to what's to their benefit, whether they like it or not, whether it's what they wanted or not. Somehow we've grown up and become accustomed in the United States to a have it your way culture and mentality. And so if we present the truth of the gospel in even the most loving ways, and it's not what someone wants to hear, the immediate, well, you don't love me. You don't love people if you don't accept this, this, and this. And we almost fall into this trap that love is this overly permissive, do whatever you want, I don't care mentality. And that's the furthest from love that you can get. We look at, and there's a great balance here between controlling and loving. But we look at parents who don't parent, whose children run the household, who have everything they want, whether it's good for them or not. And we think, well, that's not love. That's actually abandoning your responsibilities. But when we do that with people who are adults, we begin to think, well, you ought to let them do what they want. And it's not that we have the authority to stop them from doing it, but we do have the calling to love them, to speak truth, to encourage, to help them draw nearer to God. God says it's his job, his spirit, to produce conviction. It's his job to bring about a transformation. We don't have the authority nor the ability. A lot of memes floating around at various times about changing the world by first changing ourselves. And some of them are well-meaning. You look behind it and you realize they would probably agree with how that happens, but many of them are not. Many of them are under the impression that we have that power. We can do it by ourselves. And if we just muster up the strength, the resolve, the energy to change ourselves, then we've taken the first step toward the world being a better place. And yet, the only real transformation that's going to make us a better person in the long run is the transformation that Jesus can do. Oh, we may polish up the edges, we may put a shine on the outside, we may do good deeds, but they'll all tarnish. They'll all spoil. They'll all eventually fall apart. And so our love of others seeks a total transformation because we have totally been transformed by God. we recognize that the good that this world needs to see is not a good me, it's a good Jesus. It's a good God. So many times we find it easier if we have the ability to just give a person what they want instead of what they need. I think of the cripple who was healed by Peter and John as they went to pray, as they were on their way. This man whose livelihood existed because of his disability existed by begging, by asking people to just simply give him a few coins. And as he had done day in and day out, as people passed, he would ask. And if you grew up in Sunday school in the right area, you probably know the song, a little children's song about Peter and John went to pray and met a lame man on the way. He held out his palms and asked for alms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, the man wanted temporary help. He wanted a few coins. And Peter says, we don't even have that. But we have something greater. We have a total transformation that only God can give. And I'm not saying you don't help people financially. I think we're called to do that. Jesus in the New Testament teaches that our responsibility first is to our families and our family of believers. But it goes beyond that to seeing a person in need and having the need means to do something about it and responding. But always recognizing there's a greater transformation. And that's to bring a person into relationship with Jesus, so that the poverty of the spirit is transformed by the riches of God. Today, as we go through life, many places are loosening the restrictions. I know here in Indiana, state park campgrounds and inns and things are opening for Memorial Day weekend. And while it would seem like reason to celebrate, there are those who are afraid. There are those who are unsure. There are those who remain cautious of whether this is even a good time or way to reopen our economy and returning things to some sense of normalcy. And so rather than helping bring unity, the division remains. And we have the opportunity, regardless of where we stand on what should or shouldn't open, to respond to God's call to love by saying, here am I. I will. I will love people, whether I agree with them and whether they agree with me. I will love people, whether they're my friends or whether they're my enemies. I will love people whether we're of the same anything, the same beliefs, the same political ideology, whatever it is, the things that typically divide us, we have the choice today to say, God, I will love as you called me to love. I will look out for the good, the benefit of others ahead of my own. And as we pray today, I would encourage you in the times where you feel that irritation with someone rising within you, whether it's because of something you read that they've posted online, whether it's things that you read in the news, whether it's personal interactions that you have. Whenever those feelings and those times of irritation arise, remind yourself that God has called you to love that person. Not just a generic to love, but to love that person. And then spend time with God saying, what does it look like to love them like you love them? What does it look like to look out for their needs ahead of my own? What does it look like to represent Jesus to them today? You see, when we put a person in that picture frame of love, it ought to challenge us more specifically than if we just have a generic frame that says, love people. How about that person? What will God's love through you look like to them? Let's spend some time praying. Father, thank you that you are a God that has shown us how to do the love that you call us to. You sent Jesus to sacrifice, to give of himself, to look out for the good of mankind, even when they didn't want it. And never backpedaling on his purpose, nor on his expression of love. Father, help us to love people according to their need. Give us wisdom and discernment to figure out what that looks like. Father, today as we interact with people in whatever means and form that we do, may you remind us constantly throughout the day that we are called to love. And if there are people that we interact with that are easy to love, that we agree with most of the time, then may our love grow stronger than ever. The people we interact with that are more difficult to love, that we tend to disagree with, may we look beyond the disagreement to see how you would define their need. Even more importantly than how they define it, how do you define it? So that we're giving what's needed, what lasts, what will help them find and grow in a relationship with Jesus. Father, today I pray continually that you would watch over those that are caring for the sick, those that are researching solutions and vaccines and treatments, those that continue to safeguard our communities, those that are working in our public stores that are interacting daily with people that have the full range of emotions from happy to mad. And Father, as your children, may we represent Jesus well as we love all of those that we come in contact with. Father, I continue to pray that you would simply wipe this virus from the face of the earth. I pray that the things that we do would show your love to people. And whether we're excited about a loosening of restrictions or we're concerned about a loosening of restrictions, may we love those who hold a different opinion than what we do. Give us a greater understanding of one another. Father, may the love that you have shown us be put on display to a world that's living in darkness by the way that we show that love and demonstrate that love to one another. Father, I've asked that just as your Son Jesus prayed, that the world would know that we are your children, we are your disciples by the love we have for one another. Help us to have that kind of love today. May we consider what that looks like in every single interaction we have. May we lift up Jesus, that he would draw many to himself. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me on this, I believe, Friday morning edition of Encouragement and Prayer from Impact Prayer Ministry. I do pray that you are greatly blessed by God today, that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.